Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts, the third former Texan wide receiver, in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. Ben Gary here producing. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll talk with Darren Rovell from the Action Network. We'll kick some stuff around with him, sports business journalist. Always a good conversation I know he has with Payne and Pendergast, so looking forward to that. Right now, one of the most respected players in the league thinks it's too early to play football. As you know, we're inside, or just outside, rather, of a couple of weeks before NFL training camps are set to begin. And one Houston Texans star by the name of J.J. Watt, you might have heard of him, doesn't necessarily think it's all that smart to make the decision right now to go ahead and go forward with football. He was on a conference call yesterday and had this to say, quote, "I've been on NFLPA calls the last couple of times we've had them. I don't think we're anywhere." And he paused for a second. He says, "I don't think we're at a point yet where people are making that decision because we don't have enough information yet to be making decisions like that. So I think that it's a very fluid process, and I think it keeps coming up. Obviously, the report date gets closer and closer, but as of right now, we really don't have enough information to make a decision like that," I would say, end quote, talking about reporting and playing football. And obviously, the fear and the question was around player and team and staff safety with the pandemic going on. And I think the overarching question here is when you hear a guy like J.J. Watt, who's always ready to go, always in tip-top physical shape, and he wants to do nothing more than just play football, when you hear the doubt and kind of the discouragement in the league not being ready to go yet, and they are at odds still in terms of how safe players and staff and personnel will be, when you hear that from J.J. Watt, it's got to be a little concerning.
I think he hit the nail on the head. There's so many questions. There's so many concerns. And it's not clear exactly how the protocol will go when they get to their individual facilities, right? It's just not clear. So if you're a player, you have the right to be concerned. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how the process is going to be. I don't know necessarily all the details of how things will be processed and going on. So it's like, why should I feel comfort in going to a place where my safety is at risk, where the coach's safety is at risk? I mean, we talked about Romeo Crennel yesterday. He's 70-plus years old. Like, yeah. Why should he feel comfortable coming into a situation like this? Like, it's just not enough details going into it. It's not enough. And you can't promise anybody anything, right? You can't promise that you'll be completely safe here, that you won't come in contact with the virus, and you won't be able to. If one person gets it, it's a chance that he's already spread it already. You know what I mean? It's a chance that when he can. It's just so many details that goes into it that I think he's right. It's not enough stuff that can make a player or a coach or a staff member comfortable with coming in and being ready to play and be ready to do your job.
Sure.
And then even going back to our Harvard or Ivy League situation, when teams or leagues are canceling or postponing, I should say, their fall sports programs and their fall sports competitions or whatever events, that gets you thinking.
Yeah.
That gets you thinking.
100%.
And it's a domino effect because it started with, and you mentioned, you're the one that brought this up to my attention. It started with them in March.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to everything else being postponed. So yeah. It's like,
it was a real trickle-down effect. And I thought it was just, I thought it was a little, I don't know, irresponsible by the Pac-12 commissioner to say yesterday that doesn't really have a bearing on what we do. Well, it did before.
Yeah, it's silly, it's silly to say that.
It did sports-wide, you know, before, like country-wide before. Like, there's a legitimate concern for a trickle-down effect, but I like, not even just a concern. Like, if the Ivy League got it right and they're looking out for their best interests, you know, then the same has got to be said for the NCAA. At what point in time do they make that decision? At what point in time does the NFL make that decision? I feel like there's a real trickle-down effect. We asked John McClain the other day when he was on with us last Friday. I think I was the one that asked the question, is if the NCAA and the NFL, you know, are or can there be talks about them working in tandem, like unilaterally, like to have a real plan going forward? Because if it's not good enough for an Ivy League to play football or have any fall sports, and it maybe turns out to be it's not good enough for the NCAA to play fall sports, why would it be good for the NFL
exactly.
or other pro sports leagues that have to travel outside of the NBA, which is in a bubble, to do so? Like, that's why I think you have to just have uniform agreements across sport, especially when you're talking about team travel.
It's, and you hit it, teams are traveling. Players will be traveling from all across the nation to come to their individual facilities, mm-hmm. right? And you watched the University of Texas and Ohio State and other college football programs or other sports programs that are going to their schools reporting for volunteer workouts. And how many guys or how many ladies are contracted with a disease?
Yeah.
Or with the virus? It's a lot. It's, you know, 30 here at this school, 25 at this school, this. Why wouldn't it be the same for the NFL? And mm-hmm. it's not enough information or details to be like, oh, we're for sure going to play this year. It's just not.
Yeah. I wonder, like, at what point? Because you don't go back from this. You only adapt to it.
Correct.
At what point do we as a country become comfortable with operating under the fear of this pandemic? You know, like more efficiently, more effectively. At what point do we kind of get back to somewhat of a normal way of life? In my mind right now, off the top of my head, the only way that you can do that, there's a couple of ways, and that is testing has to be more efficient. Mm-hmm. Look at Alex Bregman. Had to miss the workouts the other day for the Astros. His test did not come back. The results did not come back. Everybody else's had come back. Everybody else could show up and work out. They test negative, but his hadn't come back yet. So as a precaution, he didn't show up to workouts. Okay, it comes back. He's good to go today, maybe. There you go. Okay, but that's going. If that happened in Major League Baseball the other day, what's going to be the story later today when guys show up to Orlando bubble in the NBA and they undergo their round of testing? How long does it take before the testing comes back? And what if there's complications there? What if there's complications upon entrance into training camp? What if there's complications upon week one of the NFL season? If you get to that point and you still have issues with testing results coming back in a timely manner, and you've already cut roster sizes from camp,
yeah.
There are teams, and these are probably A, B, and C, what guys like J.C. Treader, who's president of the NFLPA, are wondering about, need answers to, like yesterday.
To me, you're going to have to postpone the season. There's just too many questions. Like, to me, that's just the answer. If the Ivy League is doing it, if the NCAA is thinking about doing it with all their sports, what makes you better than them? What makes it different for you, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's nothing. There's all lives at stake right now. There's all well-being at stake right now.
You're getting close. Like, so there's a mask order, right, until August 26th. Mm-hmm. Right? You got to wear a mask into any business, mm-hmm. okay? Gas station, whatever, any business. Mm-hmm. Well, school starts around that time. Generally, a week or two before that, faculty go back
yep.
for in-services and things like that. I think you mentioned to me earlier that TAPS, right? They've got to make a decision either this week or is it next week?
I believe it was sports. Next week that on sports of moving it to the spring is a possibility. Right.
TAPS, UIL, they've all got to make these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I just, whatever decision they make, if it's not good enough for them, why is it good enough for this college program or the NCAA or the NFL or the MLB or whatever the case may be? Like, I feel like that's a fair question. I'm not trying to like fearmonger. I'm just asking the questions here and I want to know answers just as much as you guys do. But don't you have to operate in somewhat of a unilateral, uniform position here if we are going to kind of level this thing out,
yeah.
squash it,
yeah.
and figure out the best course of action instead of, well, let's go back. all hell the numbers went up. Let's stop everything again.
There has to be some type of communication. There has to be some type of, at all levels, to be on the same page to fight against this virus. You know what I mean? It can't be this group, like you mentioned. It can't be the Big Ten saying we're going to play and the Ivy League is not going to play. The high school say we'll play, but the NFL is not going to play. We have to be in order. We have to be in line. And that's hard, though, because it's a lot of different levels. There's so much going on. It's so many people involved. But I feel like that's something that has to be done so that we can defeat this and be able to bring sports back. Somebody said the other day, a baseball player said the other day, like, sports is a reward.
Sean Doolittle from the Washington Nationals. We talked about that.
It's a reward, right? It shouldn't be something that's a necessity. It's a reward. And we have to earn that reward. Well, let's earn it by being on the same page, communicate, and come together as a sports family and figure out what's the best way to accomplish.
That's a good reference. I thought Sean Doolittle put it absolutely perfect the other day in that statement. And, man, it sucks because I know, like, we're really excited about pro sports beginning again, training camp beginning, baseball actually happening, scrimmage today. I don't know if they're having it at U of H or Minute Maid downtown. I'm not exactly sure. I'd have to imagine it's probably Minute Maid. But
hopefully it's streamed. Look, fingers crossed.
Hopefully it's streamed. Hopefully we get to see some remnants of baseball from that game today. But, I mean, look, it's happening. It's underway. Are we going to get to games that actually mean something? It's going to be different than it was. Shorter seasons, abbreviated seasons, rebooted seasons, you know, but it's sports. And, you know, look, that's probably the most welcome distraction that we could probably hope for with where we're at right now. He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you in for Payne and Pendergast. 713-572-4610. If you'd like to weigh in, you can call or text, tweet at us as well, at Cecil Shorts with three eyes, at Sean Bajani on Twitter. Coming up next, no home court in the NBA. You think that leads to more upsets? We'll discuss next at Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610 welcomes you back. Sean Bajani in Cecil Shorts III. I had no idea you were like a little bit into like some of my favorite memorabilia.
I do enjoy memorabilia. I'm just not a hoarder.
I'm not a hoarder. Man, you just got my heartstrings though, man. You just said you got a Daryl Strawberry jersey from like the 80s with the Met. It was
1986 Rookie of the Year, possibly.
Dang.
Yeah, man, it's pretty sweet.
Oh my goodness, 86 Rookie of the Year. I wanted to say Doc Gooden, but that could be before. That was probably before. It was like maybe 84.
Doc was a beast too, though.
Old school baseball. We might get with Darren Revelle about a little old school baseball. He missed out on a piece of memorabilia a couple of days ago on eBay. I saw him tweeting about this. And you might be surprised as to who, and you might be scratching your head as to who when you hear exactly whose jersey he missed out on. We'll ask him about that next segment. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts in for Payne and Pendergast. Appreciate you joining us. So you sent me an article last night talking about home court advantage, or the lack thereof, rather, in the NBA in this Orlando bubble, and whether or not it could lead to more upsets. Mm-hmm. Well, I was less focused on like the whole prospect of upsets in these games coming up versus like actual home court advantage. When you think home court advantage in the NBA in particular, right? I immediately went to, okay, like I thought of like all the questionable referees in my mind that we constantly talk about throughout the course of an NBA season, you know, your Joey Crawford types and guys like that. But it's very easy to think that, and I think it probably happens too, where referees are influenced by the home crowd, right? Whether it's a bang bang call, the crowd reacts, and you know, maybe there's a late whistle or something like that. I immediately went there. And then the prospect of there being no fans in the stands during these NBA games, these eight regular season games, and then going into the playoff format, how that's going to change the way that games are called, the flow of games, are referees more or less likely to let these guys play, how that whole thing transpires. I immediately went there with it. And I thought to myself, like, if they really let these guys play, this could be like the purest basketball that we've seen in a long time. And the further I got down in this article, Jeff Van Gundy referenced how pure basketball might be in this Orlando bubble. And I thought that was kind of interesting. He kind of broke it down to like, look, it's one thing to have like individual competitiveness He talked about the referees, the crowd noise, the lack of influence now. How do you see it going down?
To me, it's going to feel like watching it, it's going to feel like Summer League. I'm a big guy when it comes to watching the incoming draft picks into that Summer League out there in Vegas or Orlando or whatever. The whole summer around this time, they'll be playing, right? It'll be the Summer League ball. Younger guys and then all the rookies. I remember watching Lonzo Ball win an MVP. I remember watching other guys just go in there and just ball out. And that's what the feel I get, right? Not a lot of people in the crowd. You can hear voices on the court. You can hear the coaches yelling. That's what I think of. But when it comes to no home court advantage, it's like if you're playing, say you're the Houston Rockets and James Harden, he has his spots on the court. Right?
Yeah.
He knows his spots on the court that he's money from. He knows, like, hey, the rim is, I don't know. He knows the rim. He's familiar with the rim, right? He's more comfortable with being in Houston playing. It's no travel, right? Sleeping in your, the opposite team had to sleep in a hotel. They'd rather sleep at home the whole nine. Everybody's in the same boat now.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the same boat.
Somebody from Orlando was talking the other day and they were like, look, you know, the bubbles, this Disney complex is only like 30 minutes away from us, but we might as well be playing in LA.
In LA, yeah.
I forget who'd said that. It might have been like a coach or a player or something like that. I don't remember. It was actually Stan Van Gundy who I referenced, by the way. And I just wanted to read his quote because, you know, they were talking about like stripping away so much from what typically defines like the NBA, what this would mean. And Van Gundy says, quote, "It will be in some ways just pure basketball. There's not going to be the emotion or adrenaline of a crowd to get people going. It will come down to each guy's competitiveness." And then the question is asked, well, is it pure basketball or is it sterile basketball? Like, there's a difference. Like, what is it going to feel like? And sterile meaning like just not even just no ambiance, but where is the raw emotion going to be from, you know, what is emoted from the crowd to the players? Like, this is different than what we're used to watching ever,
it is.
But when you really talk about raw emotion, like, hey, they're balling. The teams that only have a real opportunity to get into the postseason are there for these eight games. And then when the playoffs start, raw emotion's raw emotion. They're just balling. They're trying to do what they do. They're trying to get a title, no matter if it's, you know, from an eight game reboot or a full 82, title's a title at this point.
See, this is going to make it even more fun because you think of guys like Russell Westbrook, who comes in with that raw emotion every single game, right? This is perfect for guys like him because he's going to be able to motivate himself, motivate his team, and get these guys to play at a high level. But it's going to be interesting because these guys have to. You can't depend on nobody else now. You can't depend on the crowd. You can't depend on the people booing you or cheering you. You have to depend on your talent, your mental toughness, your teammates, the coaching staff. So it's going to be good. Like, it's going to be stuff that we maybe have not seen before. It may look like the hooping at YMCA at the 24-hour fitness. You know, you may see more clapping hands and more talking junk to each other to get things going and get themselves going. So I'm excited about it.
I want all that to be picked up on the TV feed, too.
It has to be. It has to be, right? Like, nobody's going to be there.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able
to
hear.
You know, like, the mics are behind the basket. You know, like you can hear like the thud of a ball hitting the rim or a dunk, you know, and the rim bouncing back or a guy missing a shot and you hear the, you know, like you hear that normally in an NBA game. I want to be able to hear that stuff in these games. That's going to be really cool.
I'm telling you what, Russell Westbrook's going to give us some great content. He's going to give us some great, probably going to have to bleep some of the stuff he says out, but he's going to be so motivated. This might be an advantage for the Rockets. I'm dead serious right now. Mm-hmm. This might be something that they can build off of. Simply because of Russell Westbrook and the attitude that he's going to bring every single game.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Look, they already have a lot of advantage, I think, in my mind. And I know John McClain, you know, we were talking about, you know, who's got a better chance to do something this season, if it's Astros, Rockets, Texans. I said Rockets. You guys said Astros. Just because of the level of competition the Rockets are up against, there's a lot of really good teams that they're going to have to go through to get what they want to get, and that is an NBA title this year, whether it's the Clippers, the Lakers, or the Bucks, or whoever, on their road to an NBA title. I still think they've got a lot of advantages. Let me ask you, look, you know, talking about like no crowds and, you know, the raw emotion, you know, with the NBA on the front, look, we've heard from the Ravens and the Chiefs, there's going to be very minimal people in the crowd, if any at all, by the time the NFL season starts in a couple of months. when you played, mm-hmm. I mean, were you a guy that fed off of like energy from the crowd? Did you mind it? Did you care? Did you even notice it half of the time because you're so focused on a game? What did it mean to you?
You cared about it. It was something that you obviously fed off of. But a lot of the time, to be honest, you were so focused on your play and what you had to do. Some of that stuff you naturally tune out. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like you naturally like, all right, what, you know, the crowd may be roaring, but you know, like, I got to run this crossing or I got to make sure I get boom. I'm looking at the defense. I'm looking at how he's playing me. If he's pressed, if he's off, I'm just scoping the scenes to make sure I'm getting where I'm supposed to be. Now, I talked to you in the off air, like it was tough at times where we played in Seattle when I was in Jacksonville and we were in the huddle and we couldn't hear nothing Chad Henne was saying in the huddle. So we didn't huddle the rest of the game. It was all signals from there.
Yeah.
Like, we couldn't hear anything he was saying during that time. And it's yep. like it's that makes like stuff like that makes it so difficult to go elsewhere and play.
Would you prefer when you were playing? Did you prefer to huddle and kind of like take that, you know, extra few seconds to get a play, get your breath, get prepared, think? Or do you kind of like, let's hurry up, go, we'll just get the signals and roll?
I like fast pace. Keep the defense off guard.
Yeah.
You keeping the guys from rotating the lot, or if they are rotating on defense, they gotta run in and run out and at a high pace. And plus, I think the offenses that I was on, we were better when we were moving fast, right? And we were able to, it's not much thinking, you're just reacting and playing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In a huddle, I was kind of lazy. I didn't want to jog from the huddle all the way back to the line of scrimmage and then come back to the huddle. I'm like, I just ran a 40-yard route and you didn't throw it to me. Now I got to come all the way back to the huddle. Like, nah, like, just tell me what I got. I'm staying on this side.
That's fair. That's fair. He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. Final segment coming up next. Joining us is Darren Revell, senior executive producer for the Action Network. We'll talk with him next. Stay there at Sports Radio 610. In for Payne and Pendergast this morning, I'm Sean Bajani, and he is former Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts III. Darren Revell, can't wait to ask him about this, set to join us here this segment, is going to be a few minutes late because he's apparently in the middle of breaking a story. So we'll find out exactly what here momentarily. He's set to call in there in about 9-10 minutes or so, so that'll be interesting. I wonder if he could tell us...
Let me look at his Twitter.
What he broke. I just looked at it. It wasn't an update.
It wasn't nothing?
Outside of like, let's see, Darren Revell's latest tweet came 28 minutes ago. ESPN said that they'll spend 5 days on air coming up July 13th through the 17th, exclusively unveiling Madden ratings. Hashtag COVID content.
Think about that. Like, what have we come to that we have to unveil?
5 days of Madden ratings.
It's 5 days of it?
That just hit me. They'll spend 5 days on air, 13th through the 17th of this month, exclusively unveiling Madden ratings.
So the 13th through the 17th.
My Lord. Like, are you going to go, like, you were literally talking about, like, bottom-of-the-barrel dudes on, yeah. you know, video game rosters.
Hey, I was one of the bottom-of-the-barrel guys.
No, you weren't. You were good.
Hey, give us
stop being, don't be that humble. You were good, Cecil.
It was cool, though, because you can, so I guess you're going by position now. You got to go by a couple positions a day, I would guess. Maybe like.
A couple of positions a day? Yeah, I guess, yeah, you probably would have to.
You know what I mean?
So yeah. If you're stretching that thing 5 days, I was going to say.
If you're stretching it, you got to stretch it. You got to get into some detailed talk. But who's going to watch it? Is it going to be kids? I know a lot of adults play Madden, but is it going to be kids? Like, what would the main audience be, you think?
Watching this
gamers,
thing?
Obviously just gamers.
Yeah. I mean, look, I feel like I'm kind of like scorned here already because mm-hmm. everybody around here talking about, you know, Sports Radio 16, they seem to be very, still to this day, very big wrestling fans, right?
Yeah.
And I lost interest when Hulk Hogan got busted for taking steroids back in the mid-90s.
That hurt you?
That hurt me. I was out on wrestling. Like, you know, after WrestleMania, whatever it was, when he body slammed Andre the Giant, like, that's my last great memory of the Hulkster, right? You know? But everybody's like big wrestling fans now. I just can't keep up with it, you know? And there's a lot of people. I like talking about, like, old school wrestling, but the same thing with gamers. Like, I'm not a gamer. I don't know if you are, but, like, I haven't sat down and played a video game in, I don't know how long, like, I know I played like FIFA like last summer a little
yeah.
bit. I went and bought like an old school FIFA game for my PS3.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you anything like where I'm at gaming wise. There's like a PS5 ad now. Okay. And so I played FIFA like almost religiously for about 3 weeks time. and I got busy, forgot about it, haven't turned it on since. Really? Prior to that, God knows how long.
I wouldn't call myself a gamer, but I'll probably beat anybody in Sports Radio 16 in Madden and in 2K.
I believe that.
I'll probably give the work to anybody here, just throwing it out there to challenge if anybody wants to.
Anybody not named like Wade Smith, you know, maybe Stanford route.
Anybody wants this work, let me know. But I wouldn't call myself a gamer because I don't play often. But when I do play, it's like a getaway for me. Right, it's like a getaway from the real world. So that's kind of like what I use to just sit back and relax. Kids go to sleep. I might get on and just hop, play some games of Madden. But the way I play Madden is different. So I'll pick a team, right? For example, I pick the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll trade all the good players for draft picks. I'll trade everybody. Got rid of Garoppolo. I got rid of a bunch of guys, right? And I'll just have like 5 first-round picks this year, 5 first-round picks the next year.
Yeah.
I'll just keep stocking up, and then I'll draft like Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence or those type of guys and just have fun with it that way. So more of the GM type stuff.
Everybody feel really bad about you, the ass whooping that they're getting.
Yes.
Because you did it with a whole bunch of first round picks instead of like really good veteran guys. Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So it's just fun. It's just for me a way to get away, get some time to myself. So I wouldn't call myself a gamer, but I do play and keep up with it. So I think that'll be interesting on ESPN.
You talk about getting away. One thing you shared with me earlier off air, a place, you know, it's one of your bucket list things. You want to go to Wrigley Field.
I do.
Well, there's a story about Wrigley Field and the seats on their rooftops. You know, they've been approved for 25% capacity, right?
Okay.
These seats on the rooftop, like very far away. Another building, far away, across the street. You know, every building across the street of Wrigley Field, like left field, left center field, they've got these rooftops now. And that's been kind of a thing. I feel like it's been an influx of seats, maybe like within the last decade. Time goes by fast for me, so maybe it's been a little bit longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going for $350 a pop. $350 to basically sit, you know, 1,000 feet away and watch a baseball game in which you can't even see the right fielder. Probably not even the center fielder, and maybe a small portion of the diamond. You'd probably be able to see the diamond. But, I mean, $350, you got to be kidding me. I wonder what the price gouging is going to be like, you know, across sports with the limited capacity in these baseball stadiums, football stadiums, basketball, whatever. Well, you don't have to worry about basketball. But, my gosh, $350 to sit 1,000 feet away on a rooftop. If you go to Wrigley, and I know you want to go.
Yes.
And I've been, it's totally worth it. Spend the $350 elsewhere, not to sit on a roof.
I feel like that's pretty unique, right? Now, you're right. I wouldn't spend
$350
there.
Don't let that be your first experience.
There we go.
Is all I'm saying.
There we go.
The last time I went to Wrigley, and I need to go again, because you know I'm a history buff. I love old stuff, clearly, referencing our...
The hoarder that we have over here.
My 50, 60-year-old, you know.
Dress socks.
Yeah. It means something. I'm sentimental.
60-year-old dress socks.
Yeah.
I get it.
I went to Wrigley, and I sat probably 20 rows up. We were the only Astro fans, like, in earshot.
20 rows up where?
First base side, just beyond the bag. Kind of in between the bag and the right field foul pole.
Real quick, I want to get you off your story. Where's the best seats in an MLB stadium? Like, where are, like, because, you know, like, it's courtside seats in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
right? Or
mm-hmm.
in the NFL, it's the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
Where are the best seats, in your opinion, for a baseball game?
All right. So, like, actually, for me, it's got to be between home and first or home and third.
Okay.
I like home and first, you know, because I think, you know, you're going to get a lot of foul balls generally that direction, you know, given, you know, more right-hand hitters, you know, slicing the ball and stuff like that. But you're right there in between all of the action. Mm. You know, it's a little bit different for me now because they have the nets up, you know, and that bothers me a little bit.
What about right behind home plate? No?
Behind home plate's cool, but unless I've sat directly behind home plate one time in my life, and that was at Minute Maid. And we were in the first row, like right where, you know, George and Barbara Bush used to sit.
Mm.
And you can see the strike zone, and you can hear the umpire and the catcher, and you can hear everything. That's awesome. If you're sitting there, it's cool. Anywhere else, I don't know. I can't say. I don't like being off-centered.
I'm
OCD, so I got to be centered. I got to be see everything. If, like, I'm off-center from home plate, it bothers me because, you know, you're complaining about a strike being called, and it's not really a strike. And, you know,
So if you're on the right side of the plate, you over there, first of all, you're really bothered.
Depth perception's off a little
Second
bit.
Of all, you're trying to figure out, was that really a strike or not?
Yeah. Look, if you ever go to a baseball game, with any sporting event really, but in particular a baseball game, if you ever go with me to a game, I'm literally on the edge of my seat, and I don't really talk much.
Really?
I'm focused on the game.
Well, the Skeeters guy called yesterday. We had the owner of the Skeeters called in yesterday and offered me some tickets. So if I hit you up and say,
Did he really?
Go. Yeah, if I hit you up and say, hey, let's go, mask and we're going.
I'm there. Whenever we can actually do that again, I'm there.
They have a game this weekend.
With fans?
Yes.
No joke.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just holler at me.
They start this weekend.
We got to wear masks?
You got to wear masks, and nobody will sit in front of you or behind you. So whoever you come with, you'll sit with, but nobody can sit in front of you or behind you.
Yeah, I'm down. Pretty cool. I'm down.
They got four.
You just made
four
my
teams,
day.
28 games apiece. So, like, you know.
That is awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, man, let's go. I forgot about the Skeeters.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Skeeters.
It'll be pretty cool. Starting Friday.
All right. So just advice to you.
Gotcha.
Be wary of sitting on rooftops 1,000 feet away for an exorbitant amount of money. There's that.
At least for the first time, right?
Yeah. You know, look. The greatest sporting experience I've ever had came, what was it, 3 years ago when I went to Fenway Park, and we went there back-to-back days, took in the game, sat in some great seats, similar situation between first base and the foul pole. Next day we did the stadium tour, and that is the place I could just, like, if they rented it out for an Airbnb, I would pay that money.
Mm.
Which, by the way, the Skeeters did to their ballpark, I think, earlier this season. All right, Darren Revelle, fresh off of a hot story being broken, joining us right now. Are you punching him up, Figgy, or am I punching him up? All right, Figgy's got him. Darren Revelle from the Action Network joining us right now on Sports Radio 610. You can visit actionnetwork.com and download the free app. Darren, you're on with myself, Sean Bajani, and Cecil Shorts III. How are you?
What's up? I'm not prepared to say what the story is, unfortunately, because I didn't break it. I just got the phone call, so it's not a humongous deal, but it is a, let's just put it this way, it is a betting lounge inside an NFL stadium.
Ooh,
wow.
Now, everyone's automatically then says, will there be can you walk up to a window and will there be kiosks? Like, everyone's obsessed with the idea of, you know, the actual physical, because they've always dreamed of having, like, oh, kiosks. That's what they have in England. Like, you can place your bet at a kiosk. And the truth is, aside from Washington, D.C., at the Capital One Arena, where there'll be a couple kiosks along with the William Hill Sportsbook, mm-hmm. kiosks just are not profitable. They sit there, and when you make your bet, it's a one-off, and they don't know who you are. And then it's only there. What these lounges have done, like they have at the Prudential Center with the Devils, William Hill Lounge, you go in and they get you to download the app. That's the key, so that when you go home, you can bet.
Ah.
And they want you to bet on that app. That's where the profit is. So I think it's funny that everyone always asks, like, the first question's like, well, is there a kiosk and a window? And the answer has become no, because it's not profitable.
I feel bad, Darren, that Sean Pendergast is not here, because he'd be frothing at the mouth with that kind of information.
<You're> drooling right now.
I know you guys talk about that all the time.
I talk to him enough. I talk to that guy enough, okay?
Well, we're glad you're on with us today. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts III with Darren Revelle, Senior Executive Producer for the Action Network. So, Darren, I was looking at your Twitter a couple of days ago. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. I can't remember now, but I saw that you lost out on
I'm sure I can't remember either. I tweet so much.
Well, I felt like this one smarted a little bit when you lost out on the Greg Jeffries Mets jersey on eBay. Funny story about that, and I want to ask you why the Greg Jeffries fan, because for some odd reason, you know, look, I'm here in Houston. I've been a lifelong Astro fan my entire life, but for some odd reason, back in the mid-90s, early 90s, I had a Greg Jeffries St. Louis Cardinals baseball card framed on my dresser for years, and it stayed there until I moved out of my childhood home at the age of 24. I don't know why I had it. I still have it somewhere in my baseball card collection, but why the big Greg Jeffries fan?
Well, as a kid growing up in New York, you know, I won my World Series in the third grade, thinking, hey, this is pretty good. I'll do this again. And since I'm a Mets, Jets, and Nets fan, that has been the only pro championship I have ever won. So 86 was amazing. And then came 88, where we didn't beat the Dodgers. And then we were up to 89, 90. You know, Gary Carter and Darryl Strawberry were then on the Dodgers, which is like, God, this is all before the Boston Red Sox, Yankees defections, of course. And our hope was this, the number one prospect in baseball, Greg Jeffries, and I bought like 8 million of his cards. And so it was basically, I was bidding on it as a joke, you know. And I just read an incredible story that I posted on Twitter about how hard those Mets players were on Jeffries.
I just read that last night. That was a fantastic
read. Oh, my God. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, what the hell? You made it more challenging for him. How does that help us? But yeah, I mean, I collect a ton of memorabilia. That's not anything serious. I mean, I've spent up to, you know, $30,000 on one piece. Oh, if wow. I'm really confident about it.
Oh, wow.
You know, and collectibles are flying right now. Just going completely nuts. Obviously Jordan stuff. I'm actually selling two of my Jordan pieces because I'm afraid my kids are going to ruin them, and you can't stay in my house anymore. So I have the only signed Jordan champagne bottle from a locker room after a championship. So I have a 1991 finals bottle of champagne obtained by the Lakers ball boy. And I bought it and
full or empty. Is it full or empty?
It's full. It's full. It's full, baby.
What kind of champagne?
Yeah, it's full. Oh, it's the worst of the worst. It's like, you know, brute grape juice. It's essentially sparkling grape juice. Clearly bad. And the funny thing about that is you look at all the pictures, they were drinking that stuff back then. Like, now it's just a spritz around. But, like, back then, like, Scottie Pippen looked like he was making his way through the bottle in the locker room, you know?
Hey, at that point, you know, you just won the title. You'd probably drink in anything you can get your hands on.
If you look at – what was very funny is if you look at the first couple championships, Jordan's always drinking a Miller Lite.
Really?
Really?
I didn't notice that. I need to go back and watch.
A Miller Lite?
Beer of choice, a Miller Lite. He has a Miller Lite on the bus, a Miller Lite on the plane, a Miller Lite. Yeah, he was all over Miller Lite. And actually, I mean, that's when active players couldn't do beer deals. Now they actually can.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years.
Darren, let me ask you this. With the pandemic going on, what major sports league do you feel like is handling it the best right now?
I mean, that's a trick question because golf is handling it the best. But they're all independent contractors. So, like, they could say, okay, you're like, you go home, and, you know, it's not going to affect the quote-unquote team, you know? I will say this. A bubble doesn't work if you walk into the bubble with COVID. I mean, memo to the MLS, you know? If guys are testing positive, and I understand there's a drag. That's the problem. You know, I understand there is a big drag. Hold on. I got to take a screen grab right now. This is actually really funny. Okay. I'm taking a screen grab of my, Beyond is down 20% today on the stock market. So, you know how they send you the 20% off coupons. I just thought that would be pretty funny. Anyway,
oh, you got that. Nice.
but I think it's hard for anyone to handle it. I don't think the NFL is handling it well. Like, for the most part, they're like serving up a cup of denial. Like, you know, all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we're fine. Oh, we canceled the Hall of Fame game. No, we're fine. Oh, we're only having 20% capacity in 5 of these stadiums. Like, that's not handling it well either. You're not giving me more hope by you know, staring it in the face and like laughing at it. It's very weird.
Well, so would you?
I don't have a setting institution from an academic standpoint. I think everyone's making their own decisions, saving their own butt. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what makes college so difficult, is that it's very hard to get everyone on the same page. Each president has a different risk tolerance. And obviously there's a different risk tolerance if you're in the South versus, you know, if you're somewhere else. And then you deal with like, oh, the SEC, yeah, they're going to be the first one back, you know? And then it's like, well, hold on one second. Now that they wanted to be the first one back and they said, screw this and we got to get on with our lives, look at where they are from a COVID standpoint.
Darren Reville.
What's Mount Union doing, Cecil?
As of right now, it's still up for grabs. I know it's two smaller D3 schools in Ohio where they canceled all their sports for the remainder of the year.
No, that's why I think it's interesting. Like those guys, that's why I think it's interesting.
Yeah, like Oberlin in Ohio and Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, they canceled their fall sports completely.
Wow.
What's Case Western's mascot? The violin or something like that?
I don't even know. That's a great question. A computer?
the computers. Yeah.
Darren Reville joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Man, wish we had more time to chat. Go ahead, break that story, get the details, and we'll look forward to hearing more from you, man. It was great talking to you, and I hope I get a chance to deal with you down the road.
Sorry I was late. Every once in a while I have to chef for people, but that's okay. That's okay.
All good,
hey, do your thing, Darren. Appreciate you, my
man. Okay, take care.
All right. Darren Reville from the Action Network. Visit actionnetwork.com and download the free app. Hey, a lot of fun today. We get a chance to do it again tomorrow, Cecil.
Let's do it.
To begin our weekend right. Coming up next, In the Loop with Landry Locker and Wade Smith. For Ben Gary, Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani in for Payne and Pendergast. Have a great rest of your day.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.